We have been going through this series about how to be the steps we take to be formed into a Christian, a follower of Jesus, what it means to be spiritually transformed into the image of God, this idea of spiritual formation. And today, what we're looking at is probably one of the central attributes of what a Christ follower is like. Okay? And that's the idea of forgiveness. Matthew 6, when Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray." This is a central thing. You know, one of the central things is prayer. And Alan talked about that for a couple weeks. Just how incredibly important, how central it is that we are a praying people, that the people of God pray. So Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And we've talked about this in depth before, about this passage, what we call the Lord's Prayer, and how just elegant and simple, and how deep and profound, and just how loaded this prayer is, and beautiful and meaningful. But in this context, the centrality of prayer, right in the middle of it, says, "Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us as we also have forgiven others." And then at the end of this prayer, he says, with no transition, he says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." That's a pretty heavy statement, isn't it? And there's no way to kind of finagle around that or exegete your way out of that. That's heavy. Number one, it shows us that in the kingdom of God, we will be offended, and we will be offenders. Okay? It's just the way it is. Has anybody ever done something wrong to somebody else? Yeah. Has anybody else ever been hurt by or harmed by somebody else? Yeah. And that's just the way it is. But while it's something that God takes incredibly seriously, just it's a matter of life and death, literally, something he takes incredibly seriously is that we forgive other people. And that's just, it's just so central to the idea of following Jesus. But you don't get one without the other. Followers of Jesus, citizens of the kingdom of God, are forgiven and they forgive. Period. And later on in Matthew 18, says Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Peter's keeping score, right? He says, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times, or 70 times seven, or seven times seven, or seven, whatever." The point is, it's not you keep score up until 77 and then quit. It's the point is, that's ridiculous. You don't even... You don't keep score. You keep forgiving. You keep giving a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance and a 77th forgiveness, right? Now, he continues on in this context, in the same question. How many times shall I forgive my brother or sister? It says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children, all that he had, be sold to repay the debt. But at this his servant fell on his knees before them. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go." Here's a dude who got owed, somehow, he borrowed 10,000 bags of gold, right? from the master. Whose fault is that? But anyway, borrowed 10,000 bags of gold. This unimaginable sum, right? So the master says he's going to, you know, have to sell this man into slavery and his wife and his children, and just begs, "No, please, please be patient. I'm sorry. I'll pay back everything." The master took pity on him, canceled the debt. Didn't say, "Okay, you can pay me back in installments." He canceled the debt and let him go. But then that servant went out. That same one had just had his, you know, amazingly large debt canceled. He went out, found one of his fellow servants. He owed him 100 silver coins, right? A pittance compared to what he had just owed. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay it back." Same words, right? Same words that he used. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged because they knew that this guy had this massive debt canceled. They were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. And the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all of that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In his anger, the master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Again, is this something that God takes seriously or not? Yeah. So when we start to talk about forgiveness, I think it's important. I think we all kind of recognize how important it is. Hopefully by now you do, because we've had two like really heavy, dark life and death stories already. Forgiveness is important, right? It's important that we be forgiving people. Now, before we move on, I want to talk about what forgiveness is. I think it's important to cover what forgiveness is not. Because forgiving someone can mean lots of different things, right? You know, it can mean, you know, it's important to know we're talking about the same thing and what the Bible is talking about here. And forgiving is not forgetting. Forgive and forget. You've heard that, right? How does that work? How's that working out for you? Huh? Who's been injured by someone, right? And who's forgiven that person? Okay. But you didn't forget. Because you just told me about it. All right? It doesn't work that way. When you've been injured, it's especially with something serious, or it sears itself into your mind. It becomes part of your memory. It literally becomes part of who you are. And you can pretend to forget that, but you can't. You can't unlive that moment any more than that person can unsay those words or undo that action. It's been done. It's been said. It's part of history. It's part of your history. It's part of you. Okay? Now, there's a difference between forgetting and not remembering, and we'll talk about that later. You can't forget that injury or that act, that those words, whatever that activity was, but you can choose to not remember it. You don't have control over that action. It's written into the past. It happened to you. It's there. But you have control over whether or not you bring it to your mind, whether you dwell on that act or that word or that injury, whatever that was. All right? There's a difference between forgetting and not remembering. But forgiving does not mean that you forget what happened. And forgiveness, it's not a feeling. All right? It's not that you haven't forgiven someone until you have these warm, fuzzy feelings about them and you love being in their company and you love everything about that person. Everything's a bed of roses, right? Forgiving someone doesn't mean you're best friends with that person. Right? And forgiving is not minimizing what that person has done. Another central part of being a follower of Jesus is that we hate sin. We hate when people mistreat each other. We hate when people injure and offend, and we hate it. That should be a central part of our character. We hate that stuff. When someone betrays, or someone injures, or mocks, or leaves, or whatever, we hate that. And forgiving that person for whatever that injury or that activity was doesn't mean that what they did was okay. And it doesn't mean minimizing what they did and say, "Oh, it wasn't so bad. It's all right. Now don't worry about it." Yeah. That's not what forgiving means. So those are some things of what it's not. Now we'll talk about what it is, what forgiving is. This word, there's several words used for it, but in all these passages that I've read, and most of them in the New Testament, it's aphemi, forgive. It's to let go, to send away, to go away leaving something behind, or to give up a debt. Okay? So the word aphemi isn't always translated as forgive. Sometimes it's just to send that person away out of your presence with aphemi, or just to go, in the knowledge that you have left something behind. Look at it a little more. This is Gary Brashears, I think, wrote this definition. I really like this. I think this is what we're talking about in the Bible. Forgiving is a personal act to release the one who sinned against me from my personal right to collect on the moral debt or to pay him back for his offense, giving it over to God for his justice and mercy. Okay? Does that make sense? When you forgive someone, you're saying, "I give up my right to pay you back for what you did. I am walking away from my right to justice. That I am choosing to walk away from my perfect right to see you suffer in the same way you made me suffer. Giving up your right to justice." Feel me? Walking away from keeping score. It's not saying that what you did is fine, it's okay. Because in a lot of cases, in many cases, it's not. It's not saying you're my best friend, because in a lot of cases, it's not going to happen. And if it is, that's great. We should work toward that. That's a whole other process. It's called reconciliation. That's not forgiveness. It's not saying, what are you even talking about? I don't even remember what you're talking about. No. Just saying that, look, you have offended me. You have injured me. You have hurt me. But I am giving up my right to pay you back. I'm giving up my right to make you suffer in the same way. I am not keeping score. Okay? Romans 12, we've read this many times before. This is an incredible passage of Romans 12 where it talks about what it's like to be a living sacrifice, to be a follower of Jesus. But do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. But if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Couple things here. See how radical this is. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. That is radical. That is different. That is what the upside down things about this kingdom, because that's how the world works. You leave a nasty comment on my post, well, I'm just going to do the same to you, But followers of Jesus Do not do that. To the extent that they do, they are not a follower of Jesus. Okay? Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And if it is possible. So it's not this fake plastic, putting on this show and smiling at everybody and pretending like everything's okay. And that it's pretending like what some people do doesn't matter. Pretending like sin isn't sin, that it's okay to mistreat other people. It says if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You have an obligation to forgive. You have an obligation, a life and death obligation, to give up your rights for revenge, to give up your rights to pay back that person. But reconciliation takes two. You're not going to get along with everybody. You're not going to be reconciled to everybody. No matter how good you are, you can't please everybody. And the more you try to please certain people, the more pain that results so many times. But you do have this obligation, this calling to be a forgiving people. And that doesn't require anything from the other party. Jesus didn't say, he's not saying, well, if that other person really hasn't apologized enough, then you don't have to forgive them and I'll go ahead and forgive your sins. And that's, he's not saying this person has to come and make these overtures to you, and this person has to crawl to you on hands and knees, that this person has to earn your forgiveness. That you choose. Whenever you are injured, whenever you are offended, you choose. It is up to you. You choose to not keep score. You choose to give up your right for revenge. And you give that, you leave that to God. This stuff sucks. It's not okay that this happened to you. God's going to sort that out. And maybe it'll work out where you can reconcile with that person. And you try as hard as you can, but as far as it depends on you. But that takes two. You're not responsible for that other person. You are responsible for your own forgiveness. This is really good news, though. Look at Isaiah 43. God's, of course, speaking about Himself. He says, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. God is the same way. He chooses not to remember our offenses and our sins. He gives up His right, His perfectly earned right, natural right, to pay us back for our offenses. He gives that up. And He chooses to not bring that to His mind, to not recall these offenses that we've had. But I love this, what it says here. I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, because I want to, for my benefit. God says He forgives us for His benefit. There's lots of good reasons why. I won't go too far into that. But in a way, forgiveness on our part, it's kind of self-serving too. Because it's hard to forgive, right? It's hard to do that. It's hard to give up your right to pay people back, is it not? In so many cases, it's really hard. Forgiveness is hard, but you know what's harder? Unforgiveness. It's hard to give up that right for revenge, but it is so much harder to live with that weight, to live with that bitterness, to live with that grudge, to nurse that hatred, to nurse that grudge, because that poisons everything about your life. that changes who you are. To the negative, to the same extent that being forgiving changes who you are, to the positive. That's why this is so central. Because this is what God's like. Number one, we can't call ourselves His people if we are the opposite of this. If we are keeping score, if we are always tallying up the hurts and not to minimize them. You know, people do stupid stuff that they shouldn't do. People hurt each other. They should not do that. That is evil. It's not okay. But if you don't give up your right for payback, if you don't stop keeping score, that evil wins in your heart. And saying, I give up my right for justice. I give up my right for revenge. I give up my right for justice. Man, that is power. That's saying, this sin, this offense, this is not going to win in my life. This is not going to steal the joy that Christ wants in our lives. That is so much power. In the kingdom of God, like I said, we are offended. But we also offend, right? Read Colossians 1. We read this. This is, one of these passages we read all the time. I love Colossians. It says, we also pray that you will be strengthened with all His glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to His people who live in the light. For He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Do you see what the kingdom of darkness includes? Keeping score and bearing grudges and maintaining your right for revenge. You see why that's dark? Can you think back in times in your life where you have nursed these offenses and to the point that it's like this poison that just seeps all throughout. It changes you, doesn't it? And being a huge part of being rescued from that kingdom of darkness and transferred, living in the light, transferring to the kingdom of God, is having power over that. Power over that poison. That being free from it.